Please rise as you are able for a scripture reading from. It's not the verse. Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And God stood beside him and said, I am the God of Abraham and Sarah, and the God of Isaac and Rebekah and Leah. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he put under his head, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then God shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. This is the message of hope.
Please be seated. I want to go back to our scripture reading, and I ask that you make this journey with me. I ask that you hold fast to the vision of that ladder with God at the top, angels descending and ascending. For this is truly a story of grace. As we look at Jacob's dream, let us realize it is not just a dream of one man, but rather the dream of all humanity. That means you and me. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, Holy Spirit, descend on me in the message I bring. And as I hold your hand, God, I ask that you hold fast to me. And if my words are worthy, may they touch the hearts of your people gathered here. And may these words bring honor and glory to you. Amen. Jacob and Esau were twins. Esau sells his birthright as the firstborn for some bread and lentil soup, simply because Jacob comes to him at a time when he is hungry and has spent a long day out in the fields. Later, it was time for Jacob to collect on his bargain by receiving the blessing of his aging father. This is not a blessing like we say when one sneezes, God bless you. It is so much more. For Jacob, the blessing holds great power. It conveys the very energy and vitality of the blesser's soul into the one blessed. This final blessing by Isaac of his son is to be the most powerful of all. Once it is given, it can never be taken back. Jacob steals the blessing that belongs to his brother and takes advantage of his old blind father. And it's right here that he has broken three of the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal. You shall honor your father and mother. You shall not bear false witness. And the fourth commandment, you know the one about coveting? That went out the wayside years before. But this is where the whole story begins to unravel. We may think, well, what comes around? Or perhaps we could say, as a result of cheating his brother and duping his old blind father, if he had fallen on hard times, so be it. Sort of like, you know, honesty is the best policy. Or, as a person soweth, so shall they reap. Now, if that were the case, I'd say, I'm done, and I would sit down. But that is not how the story turns out. Jacob has stolen the most that he ever wanted: standing, meaning, purpose, and love. But now, Jacob is a fugitive. And Esau has vowed to kill him. Jacob takes his mother's advice and leaves town in a really big hurry. He's uprooted, his comfort zone has been invaded, and his future is uncertain. For me, this would make for a very restless night, a night of tossing and turning. But for Jacob, who is exhausted, he sleeps. But not in a 5-star hotel, or not even with some high-tech camping gear. Instead, out in the open with only a very hard stone for under his head as a pillow. And he drops off like a baby in a cradle and sleeps and dreams. Now it's God's turn. He dreams there is a ladder reaching up above, reaching from the land to the heavens. And standing above that ladder is God. Here in his dream, Jacob encounters God. Perhaps Jacob mentally braces himself in his dream for that inevitable divine chewing out. But he gets something altogether different. I find it amazing that God meets us in the hard times and the hard places of our life, in the pain, the hurt, the human guilt, and deception. Psalms 34 tells us that God is close to the brokenhearted. So if you perhaps today are going through a hard time, know that God is with you. Fortunately for Jacob and for us, God loves to chase down runaways. This is God's defining feature. God comes to a rebellious people to be with them. God loves to intervene and to meet us when we are empty, lonely, and running away from God. Heaven comes down to earth when we are the most in need of God. Think of this. That hard season you may be in right now, this may just be your gateway to heaven. It has been my observation, and I'm not speaking for anyone else, strictly my observation, that relatively few people meet God on a Sunday morning. I believe we see glimpses of God in the faces and the actions of others that are here to worship. However, I believe, and for me it has held true, we are much more likely to meet God on the bed of affliction, or when we lose our job, or our children are sick, when our friends betray us, or when marriages or relationships fall apart. I believe we are much more likely to meet God after an accident than during the coffee hour on Sunday. I say we're much more likely to meet God in the hospital than in the sanctuary. Not because God is not here. Hear me. Make no mistakes. God is here, and not just on Sundays. Our problem, when God speaks, we don't listen. It takes tragedy, failure, it takes financial setback, heartache, illnesses, It takes the collapse of our dreams when at last we look up to heaven and say, surely God is in this place, and I knew it not. At some point in time, all of us must claim the great promises of God for ourselves. We must step out in faith, making our own commitment to God. Perhaps like Jacob, we have maybe grown up in a Christian home. However, we have spent our fair share of time running away from God. Yet, still like Jacob, we have to find our own faith. For all the years of Jacob's life, God had never before spoken directly to him. To his grandfather Abraham? Mm-hmm. To his father Isaac? Yes. But to Jacob? Never. For his whole life, he had lived on the borrowed faith of his father and his grandfather. He was raised in their faith, taught their faith, knew their faith, and even believed their faith. But he had never had a personal experience with God of his father or his grandfather. To Jacob, it was all a secondhand reality. I just want to sum it up here. This is where Jacob was when he received the vision. Physically, he was in a barren, rocky wasteland in the middle of nowhere. Socially, he was separated from his family and fleeing for his life. Materially, he had nothing but the shirt on his back. And spiritually, he was distant from God. He was alone and totally without hope. And it is here that Jacob feels the presence of God. God who makes the most incredible promises to that rat of a brother, to that runaway scoundrel. It is the same covenant that God makes with each of us every day, despite what we have or have not done. God will be with us. God will keep us wherever we go. God will not leave us, no matter what. God promises Jacob land, family, a future, the promise that God will always be with him. All of these promises before Jacob even said he was sorry, or maybe even before he felt he was sorry for what he had done. It isn't hell that God gives Jacob, but heaven. Because for Jacob and for us, God doesn't love people for who we are, but for who God is. And it was grace that Jacob received. Did Jacob get what was coming to him? By our standards, not on your life. Instead, Jacob got a beautiful vision and received that promise first made to his grandfather, Abraham. Was this a reward for cheating Esau? No. He received in spite of what he had done to Esau. God chose Jacob, just as God has chosen us. And Jacob's unworthiness could not cancel out the graciousness of God. God speaks all of these promises to Jacob. Of all people, why Jacob? He steals well. He rips off his old blind father, and he has never ever really worshipped God. Why? This is the last guy I would choose. Why does God choose Jacob? God tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God loves to use the weak and the foolish people of this world. Is there something in us like Jacob, not quite trusting that God appears to us? Perhaps in dreams, visions, or as Squire Rushnell says, those extraordinary little events in our life that happen for a reason. Something that may change the course of our day or even our life. Is it chance? Is it luck? Is it an encounter with God? Rushnell calls it God winks. Genesis 28 tells us there's an exchange of ideas between heaven and earth. God does appear to you and to me. But instead of welcoming these visions and dreams as images of God bubbling up around us, we are often threatened by them. They can be awesome, but they can be frightening. Yet they are always, always full of unspeakable love. They are gifts, God gifts. We can trust the God who speaks to us even in our dreaming. Jesus encourages us to let the pictures of God live within us. For Jesus was alive with pictures of God. He spoke of vines and branches, of the body and its members, of seeds and sowers, of a reed and the winds, of houses and sand, of figs and thorns, of Abba Father, of a marriage feast, a heavenly city of delight, and a treasure in one's heart. Jesus encourages us to see God through the shadows and follow God through dangerous and uncharted waters. I know that God appears to us in ways to match even that of Jacob, for I have been blessed with my own encounters with God. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasure and shouts to us in our pain. Pain, he said, is God's megaphone to rouse a sleeping world. About 30 years ago, my long-term relationship ended. I was at one of the lowest points in my life. A gun was too violent. I knew I could never do a rope. But drowning? Oh, yeah, I could do that. I could swim out into the ocean so far, and I would be so exhausted I couldn't make it back and would slowly sink into the ocean's waters. So I plotted and I planned. And when I had every little detail taken care of, I knew this was the day for it. I went to the gym to walk the track and to review the plan. Then I went into a sauna. I never go into a sauna. They're so hot, they're muggy, they're sticky, they're quirky. But this day, I went into a sauna. There was no one there, so I laid down on the bench, and suddenly I was being covered with a familiar blanket. When I was a little girl, I had a whole lot of dollies. My brothers made me a bed out of an orange crate, and my mother got me a blanket that had pink roses and blue flowers on it. This was the blanket that was covering me, that was surrounding me with love, peace, and warmth. And then the words as plain as you will hear them now. I will cover you with a blanket of love for the rest of your days. I shot up like I had been burned or hit with a cattle prod. There was no blanket. There was nobody there. Shortly thereafter, God gave me Patty. In January 1999, one of my older brothers walked out of my sister's house, left her with these words, "If you don't see me in 30 days, know that I am dead." For years, I looked for him. I searched at every restaurant we went into. I looked at family reunions, at marriages, at memorial services, throughout the desert floor and all the rocks around. I prayed continually for 16 years to God to give me an answer as to what, where, and how my brother was. It was last year. One night in that stillness between sleeping and being awake, my brother came across the television of my brain. It was a sixth grade boy with a shock of red hair and a mass of freckles on his face. He had a smile on his face, a broad smile. And as he transversed across the screen, he waved at me and had the happiest smile anyone could ever have. Were these dreams? Were these visions? Were these coincidences? God winks? for me. They were encounters with God, with the grace of the God that created me. I have found in the hard times of my life, this is where I most meet God. As God appeared to Jacob, as God appeared to me, I believe God appears to us and leaves us with a gift of awesome love. Amen.